You are listening to the Effective Statistician Podcast, a podcast designed to help you reach your potential, lead great science, and serve patients. This is episode number 69, how to make the collaboration between sponsor and CRO successful. Welcome to the Effective Statistician with Alexander Schacht and Benjamin Pieske, the weekly podcast for statisticians in the health sector who want to reach their potential to serve patients without becoming overwhelmed by work. So the challenge on writing an abstract for next year's PSI conference in 2020 in Barcelona is still ongoing. Just go to theeffectivestatistician.com/abstract challenge, all in one word, and there you can register for this challenge. It's a great community approach where we help each other to come up with ideas, write the submission, the abstract, and bring it into the submission. It would be awesome if lots of you join, irrespective of whether you have done that before and you can help others, or if you have never done that. And I will also help a lot with insights from successful abstracts submissions to this conference. Okay, the episode today is about the collaboration between sponsor and CRO. And there is an endless list of things that can go wrong. And I'm pretty sure you have been in very, very painful discussions if you are in the industry for some time and you have felt a lot of frustration on both ends. So today we will dive into this episode. And of course, it's pretty helpful here that Benjamin works for the CRO and I'm working on the sponsor side. So we'll give you lots of insights into what to do, what not to do, all around this collaboration, which is quite key for lots of us. This podcast is created in association with PSI, a global member organization dedicated to leading and promoting best practice and industry initiatives. Join PSI today to further develop your statistical capabilities with access to special interest groups, the video on demand content library, free registration to all PSI webinars, and much, much more. The reduced rate of the PSI membership fee is only £20 for non-high-income countries, and it's also not so much more, it's just £95 for high-income countries. So, visit the PSI website at psiweb.org to learn more about PSI activities and become a PSI member today. Welcome to a next episode of The Effective Statistician. This is Benjamin and I'm here today with Alexander.
Hi, Benjamin. Alexander. Nice talking to you again.
Hi, Alexander. Today we have a very interesting topic, actually, because we would like to talk about CRO and sponsor relationship. And this is especially interesting because, as you know, Alexander is working for a sponsor and me, I'm working for a CRO. So the experience that we had is quite, let's say, opposite. So from both sides of the story. And that makes the topic really interesting. But actually, it's to be serious, I mean, it's an interesting topic overall. And everyone probably experienced this in your working experience, that there are different relationships, different type of relationships between a CRO and a sponsor. And this is a topic that we would like to go into more detail today and see maybe bring some light into the dark and maybe bring some ideas into it. What we think is the ideal or the best or the most promising relationship between CRO and sponsor for us as statisticians.
Actually, as we are talking about kind of sponsor-CRO relationships, and of course we have our notes here and where we dive into lots of different ideas on it, one thing that just came to my mind was how important that relationship is actually, you know, not only from a company perspective, company productivity, cost, and so on perspective, but it's actually also pretty important from a satisfaction, job satisfaction perspective. You know, if you have a really good CRO you're working with, or you have a really good relationship there, you build friends there, it just increases your job satisfaction dramatically, isn't it?
It is, definitely. And I mean, especially for a CRO, it's a day-to-day business. You know, pharma companies, maybe that there's a lot of work done in-house, so there might or might not be a huge dependency on a CRO. But for us and for our statisticians, my colleague and myself, it is extremely important to have a good relationship. And that's building the whole environment, or it's the core to the whole environment of your working environment. So indeed,
Yeah, so I think there's not only the overall productivity and the kind of hard facts for the company that is affected here, but it's really about your personal day-to-day business. And I know outsourcing in stats is only increasing. You can just see it from the double-digit growth of the large CRO businesses, and there's more and more standardization going on, and that goes along with lots of further outsourcing of stats work into CROs that can handle lots of the stats work in a very, very efficient and great way, because they can leverage processes across different vendors, they can standardize things, they can reuse things on a much bigger scale, and they have are depending on completely kind of different metrics than the usual pharma companies are. So there's a lot of sense in having a good outsourcing model, and with that, having a good CRO-sponsor relationship. And today we are really talking about the stats side of it. So not about clinical operations, about data management, all these kind of other things that are involved in it. And it's really kind of how the statistics department on the pharma side and sponsor side work with the statistics department on the CRO side, not about all the other functions.
Okay, but just maybe before we really go into the details of the day-to-day interaction that we have, maybe we should just first talk a little bit about what the relationship is about. So we always say relationship. The question is it a relationship, or should we better call it, for example, partnership? So the thinking behind the relationship is something that I usually experience at the first meeting, where it comes clearer what the expectation is. And there's really a difference between a pure relationship and a partnership.
Yeah, I think a relationship is kind of a pretty neutral term, can be kind of in any direction. But I think what is a good CRO sponsor relationship is actually a partnership on an equal level. And I think there's a couple of different good points about that, to have a actual partnership. Because, for example, one of the things is I want my CROs that I'm working with to speak up. I want them to kind of raise topics that they didn't understand, or where they see issues, or where, you know, maybe I made flat out a mistake, yeah, and say, that doesn't seem to be right, or we could do it better that way. And that is kind of a sign of a partnership, rather than just kind of blindly doing what I said, irrespective of what it makes sense or not. Because, you know, maybe it was just a misunderstanding, you know, or my communication was not precise enough or whatsoever. Yeah. But just blindly taking what I say and literally kind of word by word executing it without thinking about it and without questioning about it, and even executing it if they think it's wrong, that's not a partnership. Yeah.
Exactly, it's not a partnership, and I think we discussed this in one of the earlier episodes. It's about the communication itself. So I think having a good communication setup, like the possibility, and also, as you said, the openness that you listening to the comments of the CRO or the sponsor, that is something that really needs to be set up in any working relationship or partnership between the CRO and the sponsors. And usually, I mean, to be honest, I had very rarely experiences where the statisticians, I mean, we are all statisticians, so usually working together. So we know what we are talking about, but maybe we don't use the right words or the same words for it. So that's why we need to just speak up, talk, and make, allow questions and provide answers as needed.
Yeah. And I think that helps you to make sure that you get to common expectations, on all kind of different dimensions. Let's say quality, let's say speed, let's say kind of cost or whatsoever. Yeah. So everybody has a different understanding of what a mistake, so to say, is. Yeah. Or, you know, I know we had once a discussion about what is a finalized table, so to say, or, you know, what's an error in a table, you know, an error in a table could mean anything from a small typo in a footnote up to, you know, having the wrong overall sample size in it or whatsoever. Yeah. Or,
yeah. Another example is for, you know, if you define timelines and you talk about, you know, the database lock and until the delivery. So what is database lock? For one, it's just the hard lock of the database. For others, it's the, the availability of all even external data so that programming can start to merge data into STTM data sets. So it's really a question of definition. And this is something we both talk about, database lock, but it might be two weeks in between.
And I think that is, that also comes with long-term kind of partnerships. I really believe that at the beginning of a partnership, you both pay into it, you know, in terms of you pay into it from a time perspective and probably from a cost perspective. Probably for the first project you're working together, it's there's no win in either side. Both need to invest. And we'll see, maybe the second study, you, let's say, break even. And only with the third study, you really both sides gain, is kind of my experience. It just takes a long-term view in these kind of CRO sponsor relationships. If you kind of jump from CRO to CRO, and probably the same from the CRO side, if you jump from customer to customer, you're probably not anyway go anywhere. It's because you start from scratch all over and you need to kind of build the basis again and again and again, and that doesn't lead to anything.
Hmm. I mean, it is obviously, I mean, CROs do jump from customer to customer. I mean, not necessarily jump on a daily basis, but they have usually several customer, especially talk about large CROs. However, this is something that we see that is a very successful model to build. First of all, to have this long term view, but also build a stable relationship to the sponsor, allowing for the experience being brought into the second and the third study from the first study with the same staff, with the same statistician, to allow what you just mentioned, to allow to gain the efficiency that we usually, you know, pay for or we invest for in the first studies that we have. And this is definitely something that really calms down the excitement and the unexpected or the surprises that comes along when we stick on both sides to a staff that already worked with the same client or with the same CRO, and knows how things are running.
And in terms of long-term perspective, I think in the end, it's all about long-term, stable, personal relationships. Of course, there's a benefit if you have kind of an overall company CRO, long-term view on it as well, and there's scalability across different projects and stuff like this. And there's, so to say, learning from one project to the other, and there's kind of, you know, things like the a master service agreement or things like that in place. All these kind of things help a lot. But I think if it comes to the individual statistician, I really think that there's a huge benefit in having these stable personal relationships, because that's where I get a lot of trust from it. And I have, you know, you even build friendships with the statisticians on the other side. Of course, from business perspective, you could say, well, maybe with friendships that, you know, you get biased and things like this. But on the other hand, you get also a lot of trust, and trust means speed, and speed means decreases in costs. And so there's a lot of benefits overall from having these long-term stable relationships.
No, I agree. And I think this is quite natural that, you know, if the chemistry works between two partners, then the business or the results are just more efficient and you know, also for the long-term view, I think this is more satisfactory for both sides. If we work together with people and with, you know, that are in a relationship, you know, trust each other and work together. So I think that's a very important point, the personal relationship between the two statisticians or the group of statisticians. Yeah.
And sometimes really meeting each other personal face-to-face helps a lot. So I can remember that.
Absolutely.
I even traveled to Russia to visit a couple of statisticians at a CRO. And it was really not easy from a visa perspective and a couple of other things, but it helped so much. And, you know, these couple of days that I spent there, talking to all the different statisticians, having a dinner with them, getting a little bit of their background, seeing what are their interests, what are their capabilities. They also said, you know, okay, here are kind of where we see problems. This is where we are good at. This is where we need your help. All these things really helped along in the overall process. And if you can meet your statisticians that you're working with, maybe you can't meet them, you know, face to face at a specific event, but maybe you can meet them together at a conference, or at least turn on your camera.
Yeah, that's actually a good thing. The camera or the webcam, that does help if it is allowed. And also, I think, I mean, this is a point which is kind of a vicious circle, could be a vicious circle, is that, you know, the turnover. So, you know, if you have a group of statisticians working for a client, and on either side, there's a turnover rate, so a lot of changes, which results in lots or potential loss of information or background history, or even like personal relationship. This is definitely something worth to be avoided. And again, if we have good relationships, it's a factor that plays into takes into account that the turnover rates are usually higher if you have a good relationship and good working environment. So therefore, this is something where we can directly influence as well with having good sponsors, client, and CRO relationships.
You meant good relationships mean low turnover rates.
Low turnover rates, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, did I say it? Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think everyone knows what I meant.
Okay, another kind of topic is, as you already pointed out, is kind of have a common understanding in terms of all the processes, the timelines, the abbreviations, the nomenclatures that you're using, and the overall transparency on the processes that you're both following, both actually on the sponsor and on the CRO side. So that you know, okay, what is coming up in, you know, 6 months, in 1 year, in 2 years, that, you know, people have an understanding, okay, where are important milestones? What is kind of the time that maybe in 1 year you shouldn't plan your vacation on? What is the time that we need kind of all hands on deck? And are there any shifts in these kind of timelines? And in terms of processes, is there any kind of, you know, is there an additional review round here or there, or is there, you know, a big meeting that takes place where everybody needs to report on whatsoever? Yeah. So all these kind of, and these of course change from sponsor to sponsor, and everybody has kind of a different SOP and a different expectation on things. So it's really important to be transparent on these kind of things.
Indeed. I think this is part of the overall communication, and therefore absolutely important to be open and to share things. I remember that I've been invited to like, let's say, therapeutic area meetings that had basically nothing directly to do with statistic, but just being involved in the planning of a whole department, and to understand where the next publications are planned, where the next congresses take place. So, and then count back saying, when do we need to present or to deliver something? What needs to be delivered? When is a result or different study coming out and being published? So when do we know how to react on that, and so on? So this is just being listening to the history or to the ongoing activities of more than just the study related timelines and time points. So this is something that I appreciated a lot, and it worked very well and helped me a lot to understand what's needed.
Yeah, and also from a sponsor perspective, that helps you to make sure that you have enough resources on the CRO side set up for these crunch times, because as a statistician in the sponsor side, you are responsible for all your deliverables. It doesn't matter for your business partners in medical or regulatory whether you do it yourself or you have outsourced it to the CRO. You are responsible. And you can't say, "Ah, sorry, the CRO doesn't have any resources." Well, it was your job to make actually sure that the CRO has resources. And if you haven't communicated, sorry, your fault, not the CRO's fault. So I think that is where you also shouldn't hide away behind the CRO. I think it's actually very good there to see the CRO as your part of your overall team, and you need to stand, you know, behind them. You need to, you know, protect them in some sense, how you would protect your own team. And so, and I think it's also, you know, it's really kind of not honest to kind of step to the side and then kind of blame the CRO because they are not in the room. It's very, very kind of cheap to do this. So and actually not really fair, and also not really helpful and responsible. So in the end, you need to make sure that you set up the CRO in such a way that they really can deliver, because ultimately, in front of your business partners, you're responsible. And so make sure you can, you do everything to help set the CROs up for success, like you would do with internal resources, set them up for success. So that's really important. And of course, internal resources have lots of other kind of communication channels where they get a bigger understanding of the picture, where they get a, you know, other communication via within company news and things like that. And they may be invited to meetings where the CRO is not invited. So it's really, really important in terms of communication that you give the CRO a heads up of all the different things. And communication is a tricky thing, because communicate once and you might be heard, communicate twice, you still might be heard, communicate three times, and you know, you can be at least sure that it was heard. And you know, in terms of that, it's always good to have good communications in terms of from a quality perspective, so face to face, at least via video, to have things also the key things documented. And that you have a good relationship there, that you have regulatory communications, regular communications. So all these kind of things really matter a lot in terms of the CRO sponsor relationship.
Yeah, absolutely. Now I think it's a good point. Again, the communication, but sharing these the knowledge, or sharing the timelines and the plans and everything, that is just incredibly helping the CRO statistician to request, to plan in the resources, to get things sorted and helping. I mean, usually CROs are quite flexible in terms of this, and especially if you work in sponsor with sponsor relationships and bigger partnerships where there's also, for example, very urgent deliveries then that come up suddenly, then there's usually some place to juggle around within the group of statisticians supporting one client. So there's always a lot of flexibility. But in any case, the more time we have for planning, the easier it is, and just moving forward. And we all know that that performing a delivery is usually, you know, there are unexpected traps somewhere in the data or whatever. So we will spend a lot of time anyway for things that we didn't foresee, due to the data, for example. So it's really, you know, it really helps for a relationship to share the information as early as possible and don't lose any time with this. And it has shown to be very, very successful and very smooth running if the CRO is involved in the communication and in the planning of the studies.
Yeah. And in terms of that, I think there we get back to the partnership on the equal level, actually. You said, you know, a CRO is flexible and things like that. That depends very much on kind of whether you have a partnership on an equal level. So if you're a small sponsor and you're kind of on the low priority list of a very, very big CRO, not sure whether you get all the kind of resources you need if you need them urgent and unplanned and things like this. And also the other way around, you know, if you're a very, very big sponsor and you deal with a small CRO and then you need to have lots of people at once, there's just a limited amount of people at a small CRO. So I think having their good kind of partnership on an equal level helps a lot. And also, of course, kind of from a sponsor side, if you have burned your relationships with the CRO multiple times, and then it's about crunch time and you are running out of time, and you know, then of course for the CRO it's very easy to say, well, you committed to it, we agreed to a timeline that is 10th of December. If you now want to have it 10th of October, well, here's a payment. So you know, it's, you know, people fall into this trap of thinking, well, I'm the sponsor and, you know, I treat the CRO like a slave. I think usually these kind of things have a backlash at some point in time. So I actually believe very, very much on this partnership on an equal level.
Mm. Yeah, and at least from my experience, it has shown that this is the most successful way that I've seen in working in these working relationships. It's not that, you know, that other ways do not somehow work. It is, you know, it also often comes to a good end, and let's say for the delivery, the study. So it's not the point. It's just about just looking from statistician to statistician that we would like to, like everyone would like to be looked into their eyes and just being treated as a colleague, rather than, as you mentioned, like a slave. So it's not the, it's a common sense, I believe, that a fair treatment is something for both sides to be, the common sense of working together.
Yeah, and I think this fair treatment also involves money. You know, have a fair payment process and a transparent payment process about things. There's actually a very, very interesting learning from the automotive industry. So there was a large automotive company that was on a cost-cutting endeavor. And so they worked with all their suppliers and kind of cut costs and, you know, hit them very, very hard and not treated them very, very well. And then there was this one little tiny supplier that was only, you know, important for one part, but, you know, that part was in all the different cars. And this, you know, big company forced them to reduce cost in all ends. And so they needed really to get some money somewhere to basically survive. And then they found one kind of hole in the whole contract. And that was the data delivery. So for the interface between the different companies. And so they basically stopped the data delivery there, and that stopped the overall process of producing cars for the bigger company. And they stopped this so long as to the time where the big company was willing to up-level their payment. And it stopped the overall manufacturing process of this big company, you know, some kind of bizarre thing, but it was, you know, there was just no other substitute for it. And that shows that if you kind of don't let the other part live, have a good overall relationship, that will haunt you at some point. And it doesn't create a partnership where you're working together and actually create something overall.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree in a way, in a little slightly different way, actually, because I think it's not the payment, or we shouldn't maybe name it payment at that time, because I think especially in bigger CRO, this is some often related also with other partnerships. So if it's a standalone project, it might be different than to a full service and so on. So payment is one thing. I think what we mentioned before and what is the key here for the payment is actually the time that is needed. Because for a statistician itself, it's you know, it doesn't matter what the payment, the actual money per hour is. It's more the point of how many hours am I allowed or am I planned in to perform a certain task. And so that is something where we should have an open discussion, and it relates back to the processes where there needs to be a common or like a both understanding from both sides of the processes. So things that we need to follow, or the statistician at the CRO need to follow in order to perform a task. And it might be different from the understanding of a statistician in a, at the pharma side or also in other companies that the processes, you know, if the work is outsourced without, changing the processes for this, we are following the processes that are in place for the CRO company. And therefore, you know, we can't, for example, squeeze something together because we know that our processes don't allow for less time for this. So therefore, we need to find a way of communicating, getting together, understanding the processes, and allowing the time that is needed for each of the parties. I mean, it goes in a certain way also back to the sponsor, because, for example, for review time, we can't expect to review 500 outputs within a day. So that's not feasible. And then at the end of the day, expect consolidated comments from 10 different parties. It does not work. So that's the meaning about the fair payment. It's not the money itself. It's really about what we need. It's indirectly the money, because the more hours we have, the more time or the more money will be paid. But to understand what is needed to really do the work.
Yeah, and I think that goes in both directions. I think it first goes into the direction of what is really needed from a process point of view. Yeah, in terms of, and there sometimes it really makes a lot of sense to, you know, go into the example production of an update of some tables. Yeah, and to go through, okay, that needs an update of the analysis data sets, that needs an update of the documentation here, and that needs an update of the QC process here, and all these kind of little things, and go through there and actually identify, okay, how many statisticians are involved here, what are kind of how many programmers are involved here, where are the handovers, all these kind of different things, and what are the documentation requirements. And to get transparency and get a common understanding there, because that helps you to identify, okay, is that something fast or is that something that takes a longer thing? And that also helps the statisticians within the sponsor side to understand, okay, I'm in a meeting with you know, all the study team, and we talk about additional analysis. Is that something that I can provide in 2 days, or is that something where I need to plan in, you know, a month? So it's actually quite good to have a deep insight into what the CRO is actually doing there. On the other hand, it's also important that, you know, the CRO can say, okay, that's, you know, just adding a line in our program and rerunning it, and it just takes a runtime overnight, but then you get the updates tomorrow. It all depends on how you actually set up the overall process, what kind of your expectations are. If you, of course, want to have one program for each table and you need to kind of pick 100 tables and, you know, to update something, well, that takes more time than if you have set up your program in a very, very modular way and you just need to update, you know, one line in a program that's then called by lots of other programs. So, and then of course it depends on what are your expectations on QCing these kind of things. So that's really about having a good communication about these things up front.
And I think another important point is really about giving feedback. We had, you know, several examples that I've seen, and I mean, it's also quite obvious is that for a relationship moving forward, it's always good to understand what went good and what went wrong in the past. So giving the chance of honest feedback, criticism, praise, whatever it is, and not feeling offended, and just taking it, listening to it, changing it, or adapting it, or applying it again. That's I think one of the key supporters to get the learning curve up and improve the relationship over time.
Yeah, feedback is the number one tool for any management. And that's the same here. And if you want to have more of something, you need to praise it. And if you want to have less of something, you need to give negative feedback. And that's the same thing for CRO and sponsors relationship. And it's in both ways, of course. You know, I'm pretty sure from a CRO perspective, you always get kind of vague things. It's probably good to give some feedback about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's also, for example, if you feel that you are not involved too much or enough in the progress, in the planning, then this is something where you can get feedback, give feedback, and request or ask for this.
Yeah, and by the way, I think it's pretty good to do that on a regular basis in terms of doing it timely and personally. So not just wait until the last annual meeting where the sponsor and the CRO gets together, and then you look into your issue list and you say, well, 9 months ago there was this topic, and you bring it up the first time. That's really bad.
Yeah. And also, yeah, that's bad, but also it's the way how you communicate it, because if you don't do finger pointing, it's yeah. Just tell him the experience. So just saying this is how I felt about it, or how I experienced the situation. That just try to give a little feedback about it was received, and not saying you did it wrong. So I mean, this is a different topic, the communication, but in general, it's about the when, about the how, and the who you're talking to.
Yeah, I think these bigger, let's say, sponsor CRO meetings where you look across different projects and things like this. This is also a feedback session, but there it's more about patterns, looking into patterns. Is there a certain kind of process that is always kind of broken, or is there certain relationships that is kind of not working? Is this these kind of things you're looking into? But you're not looking into whether there was, this one TFL not corrected in time whatsoever. Yeah, that's just insane to look at that level.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it's also, let's say it's the way of communicating it to about what the general, let's say, meetings in bigger partnerships, they usually have this based on this kind of matrices, as you said. But this is not the importance one for you in your direct relationship with the client or with the sponsor and the CRO statisticians, because this is then more about the personal relationship that you build up, and the where you need some feedback on the way of communicating. And it's not about delivering timelines and a number of errors and outputs. This is about the direct interaction and the direct relationship, and that helps you to bring the next steps, the next milestones, or the next studies into even better shape.
I think where, you know, these bigger kind of meetings come into place is, as I said, for patterns. So if you see that, you know, there's a certain team that always works good, that, you know, always keeps delivering on timeline, where things are moving fast, where things are moving high quality, that is something that you can say, okay, yeah, this on and see all these projects, things are running really smoothly, and that is something that you can elevate at these levels and say, okay, make sure that these teams, you know, also are seen on a very, very good end on these high level meetings, because, you know, there may be the supervisor of those that did the work, or the supervisors of all those that actually did the work, and it will make a huge difference for your personal partners at the CRO level if they get praise through these kind of channels. So don't miss that opportunity to praise people that helped you a lot in these things, and, you know, list all the different things where they helped you, and I'm pretty sure that will make a huge difference.
Absolutely.
Okay. Now let's go into a couple of very, very specific points that we can do in terms of good CRO and sponsor relationship. So we have talked about lots of kind of bigger topic things. And now let's go into some very, very kind of tactical short things. So number one for me is at the beginning of such a relationship, it's awesome to have some face-to-face visits.
That's true. And it's important for both sides. And I think it's really appreciated from the CRO side if they see that the statistician comes over to really take the time and to talk to them.
Yeah. And what I have been doing on such occasions is usually I give a bigger point of view on the content. So I speak about, okay, what's the patients are that we are treating? Why is that important? How do they feel? What's the patient journey does look like? What are all the different endpoints? Why are they collected? What's the impact on the patients? What's the competitive landscape look like? What are the key issues? All these kind of different things to give a really, really broad perspective and broader picture, because I think that is really important from a personal, passionate perspective, but it's also really important to get a bigger understanding of what does good look like and what kind of data output makes sense. So just one example is if you work on a study that is where your indication is, let's say, 80% male. Now you run your study demographics and, you know, there's a coding problem with your gender, and in your demographics tables, you have 80% female instead of male. Well, then you directly know there's probably an issue. Yeah. Or, you know, a certain score goes up instead of going down, or things like that. These are kind of things that, you know, you need to communicate at these kind of starting discussions. That's really good.
Yeah, what just comes to my mind is really actually, I mean, we just talked about statisticians, but I think it's an excellent point to involve the key the personnel for stats programmers as well. Because the interaction between stats and stats program is usually quite close. There are even hybrid roles, so it's not you know, you can't really necessarily cut them anyway, but it's very good to involve programmers at these stages and different stages, communication and feedback as well, because they are also, it's very helpful as well for programmers that are not that much involved usually in the day-to-day business of a statistician and the in the interaction with medics and other shareholders, that they visualize the outcome or the idea of what's needed, what they need to look for when they program or QC an output. So it's not about statistics only, it's really stats and stats
program. Yeah, and so I think that I also think that gives you much more kind of passion in the overall project. It gives you much more kind of satisfaction that you're not just delivering tables, but you know where these tables are used for. You know, it's not just delivery of tables, it's delivery of information that ultimately helps patients to be treated. And so you can see kind of why that makes sense. And through this kind of interactions, you create much more kind of a team spirit. And that's really, really important. In terms of creating team spirit, the other thing is to have really regular interactions. And that comes through two different things. I think it's really good to have scheduled interactions. So that goes through a kind of predefined agenda in terms of what you are looking into, kind of maybe metrics and kind of issue list and upcoming milestones and things like that. But then also have, you know, frequent ad hoc interactions on things and not just rely on email is really, really important there.
Yep, it's true. Pick up the phone, use the webcam, just interact.
Yep.
With the people.
Yeah. And, you know, especially if there are, you know, if you see that there's a back and forth in terms of emails, it's so much more helpful to, you know, say, okay, I'm just calling you. And then we clear things on the phone. And that way you can speed up things and you can also ensure higher quality. And at the same time, you're investing in your relationships. And that is so, so, so important.
Yeah, just remember that sometimes, you know, it's not, if people are writing emails, that means that they would like to have this in writing, which may also indirectly say that they don't trust.
Okay.
That's in any way. It's not a direct relationship. It's really that they would like to have it in writing to prove that they said something or did something. So if you get to the status of picking up the phone and talking to the people instead of writing emails, that is a trust. That's the trust that people give you and respond to it. So I think this is really a good sign. If this kind of communication, it works, that this is a good relationship between you and another statistician or another person.
Yeah, and then that's...
There might be different types of person doing the communication, that's true. But in general, I think it's people tend to back themselves up with writing emails. And if they don't do it anymore, it's a good sign.
Yeah, and then you can just say, okay, then now... I'll write you a quick email to kind of make sure that we are on the same page and that we have everything documented and the summary. And then we, you know, you say, okay, and then we send it to our management. Yeah. I think that is really, really important. And that actually leads me to kind of, having a good leadership support in here is really important. So in terms of that, I think from a statistician at the sponsor side, it's really important to good communication with your leadership about what's going on and what's not going on with CRO. And I wouldn't kind of escalate any issue directly to my management. For me personally, I think, first, your management surely doesn't need to know about kind of any small issue, probably doesn't want to know about any small issue. And if it gets escalated, they think they need to do something about it. I think I always would first try to kind of solve everything kind of on the lowest level and, you know, get things sorted out that way. And only if, you know, if you can't get, you know, through, then I wouldn't escalate it in a way, please step in, but I would first escalate it in a way, I'm stuck here. Can you coach me on how to get it done? And not kind of, can you call the other person supervisor? I think that's kind of a much more later escalation step I would go into.
Yeah, no, that's true. I think that's true for any site. It's probably true, not, you know, even outside the area we are talking currently about. So you know, for statistics or for a statistician, we know that they are leader. They should be leading a team, following them. So if their first act is to escalate this to their manager, that is not leading. That is, yep, escalating. So take the first steps yourself. Work with the team. Work with your counterpart, your partner. Work with your programmer or the programmer of the sponsor, the CRO, and communicate it. Give the feedback, good feedback, as we said, but also the negative feedback if we have anything concerns or anything. This is something which we should be able to raise. And as you said, Alexander, if you're doing, you know, if this is not successful, then seek for support from your supervisor. Yeah.
And I think that is, in terms of support, the first level is really that he coaches you and basically gives it back into your hand and you follow up with the CRO rather than him or her calling the CRO. I think that is really, really important. And there's different supervisor types. You know, there's certain supervisors that will, you know, rather delegate it back to you anyway. And there's other supervisors that might, you know, see it as an opportunity to dive into it. Really, the best way is to, you know, maybe you just say, here's something for your information. I'm following up on that. And then this next level is, here's something where I need your help. Can you help me solving it? And then the third level would only be, here's something that I, despite of you coaching me, I can't get it done. Could you kind of handle it on your level? So these are kind of different escalation levels, and you shouldn't jump from the lowest to the highest directly, usually.
Exactly. But again, it's also depending on the situation there, because sometimes the management also has a very good relationship, as close as you on the study level with the CRO or the sponsor. So this is kind of a day-to-day interaction there as well, or say weekly or very quickly. So things can sometimes be sorted very easily and quickly or that way without any finger pointing or any thing. So it's really depending on the situation, but yes, I agree that this is shouldn't be the first step to escalate.
Yeah, I think usually finger pointing doesn't help so much. It's
no finger pointing never.
You never know what's really going on the other side. You never know what's really all of their book of work. You never know what's the overall picture is. Be really humble in that direction usually is the right approach.
Yeah, but this is something about professionalism anyway, it's not about finger pointing, it's about solving problems.
Yeah, absolutely. So in terms of that, one other aspect I would like to dive into is if you have some say in kind of overall choosing your vendor. Now we have looked into how an overall good sponsor relationship looks like, and from our experience. And I think that helps you to see kind of if you need to choose your vendor, what are things you want to look out for? So it's, you know, you want to look out for, you know, cultures and companies that you can, you know, work together with on an equal level. And, you know, if you're a small biotech company and you're working with a super large CRO, I don't know. I probably wouldn't go that that way. If and the other way around, it also doesn't make a lot of sense. You know, if you have hundreds of projects that you want to manage and you're going with a three-man CRO, that also doesn't work very, very nicely. So I think there needs to be some kind of equal partnership. And there needs to be some investment from both sides and interest from both sides to make it work. And if there's not this equal partnership, then I think very often one side lacks this kind of striving for a long-term relationship. And also the other point is both sides need to have these fallback positions. You know, as a sponsor, I actually don't want to have a CRO where I have 95% of the business. Yeah. Because as a sponsor, there may be ups and downs. And, you know, just because you have half a year, not enough projects, that kills your CRO and makes them go out of business, that's a really bad thing. And, you know, so that is, you know, having fallback positions for both sides is really, really important. And so overall, in the end, it comes really to having good personal relationships and being very, very clear about what are the different expectations.
Yeah, I think it's a very there are good points that you mentioned, and I think, but what I believe is the most important part is really that they have the same understanding of the partnership or of the relationship, so that they work together with the same understanding of the goal, of the way to get there, and that they obviously understand that they can't get there without each other. That is the key point for a successful.
Topic. In terms of and what is actually good looks like might have very, very different aspects. So for one company, maybe, you know, there's a very solid cost limit, and that's it. And so then you need to completely operate within that cost limit. Or for another company, it's all about, you know, quality, and quality in a certain way, you know, that every table is highly customized and with, you know, very specific layout and whatsoever. And for another company, it's all about timelines. Yeah. So having it in 10 days is more important than anything else. So I think what good looks like is very, very different. And then, you know, always having this cost per table structure may not be the optimal output. Yeah. So I think there's lots of other ways you can look into costs and just, you know, cost per table.
Yeah, but I think this is also a way to be defined in the process of a partnership. You know, without the experience working together, it's difficult to understand the processes and to follow the processes and then allow for the for flexibility, for example, to not cost per output. Or so it's usually it's rather to find a good average number that allows learning progress curve and overall a good
campaign. Yeah, and the overall fan payment I think is really the key thing, because in the end it really is about pay per hour, probably from the CRO side, and it's about kind of the overall paper study of, you know, quality of information that you get from the sponsor side. And I think you can work there together to come up with, you know, intelligent solutions by clearly understanding how the process works from both ends. Where are kind of the cost drivers, where you can, you know, decrease costs, where you can work together to, you know, have cost reductions by standardization, by, you know, having less flexibility and, you know, therefore more repeated tables and things like this that may not look as pretty as you like them, but have the same information. So there's lots of different ways you can look into this, but you need to have a common understanding of what good looks like. That I think is really, really key. Okay, so this was today a very, very, very long episode, and we have talked about partnerships. We have talked about what that means, what, you know, equal level actually means, what setting expectations on all different types of aspects of the collaboration means, how you can actually establish personal long-term relationships and why that is important, what that has to do with job satisfaction and overall turnover rates on both sides, and how you can increase transparency on the processes, both on the CLO side, but also on the sponsor side, to make things run smoothly. We also talked a lot about trust and how you can increase trust, how you can use feedback to increase trust, and how you can use feedback to improve overall things, and how important the overall relationship is in this kind of situation. And so this episode, I think we not only covered kind of what you can do on a personal level for your CRO sponsor relationships, but also how you can communicate upwards in your organization to help make good choices of these relationships, so that ultimately in the long run you can work really smoothly and that you don't get up in the morning and think, now I need to talk to this person on the other hand of the world in this other company and I don't want to talk to them. But that you actually look forward to working on these kind of things on a day in and day out. Okay, thanks so much, Benjamin. That was an awesome episode.
Thanks, Alexander.
Thanks so much and have a good time. Bye.
Bye.
This show was created in association with PSI. Thanks for listening. Please visit theeffectivestatistician.com to find the show notes and learn more about our podcast to boost your career as a statistician in the health sector. Reach your potential, lead great science, and serve patients. Just be an effective statistician.